thank you for all the support that you have been giving to me. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, truly you are doing a new thing. Thank you for the privilege to be in this place. Let every spoken word lead us to your word, the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Reveal in us that aspects of our lives that we haven't followed you. Amen. It has been nearly a year since I had the opportunity to talk with the bishop regarding this call to ministry. And he said, okay, come on this date and join the rest of the ordinance and see what they are doing. The date he's referring to was last September 2022, when I first joined the program. And this is it. I just pray that you will clearly understand the way I pronounce the words. As I was reading the book of Exodus chapter 4, and this regards the God's command to Moses to go to Egypt and lead the Israelites out of bondage from that country. And beginning at verse 10, but Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And I just laughed alone and said to the Lord, I'm like him. I'm not eloquent, slow of speech and of tongue, wondering if they understand the way I talk. And verse 11, then the Lord said to Moses, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf? Seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? And I said, okay, Lord, I trust you. And verse 12, God speaking to Moses, now go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. Ah, with relief, then I said, I trust you more, Lord. In verse 13, but Moses said, O my Lord, please send someone else. In verse 14, then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, what of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. Oh no, I said, not so blessed to have Aaron with me, but so much blessed to have three Aarons with me, Reverend Snow, Alan and Bill. To make the long story short, it's not Moses' will that occurred, but his obedience to God's will that prevailed. And that is what affected me about the Genesis reading and the gospel reading today. Obedience to our Lord. Our father Abraham, who was then called Abram, followed what the Lord told him to go from his country of origin to the land where the Lord will show him. Not knowing where will that be, but still he followed the Lord's instruction.
He was 75. You're a young boy.
And went to that land where the Lord can make him a great nation. His name will be great. And make him so blessed so he can be a blessing. And that is where the land of Israel is today. Jesus, in his town, after healing the paralytic, he walks on and he sees Matthew seated on his tax booth, extends an invitation to follow him, and without hesitation or any question, Matthew got up and followed Jesus. By the way, Matthew is the same as Levi, who is sitting at the tax booth, named in both the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 14, and in Luke, chapter 5, verse 27. It is unknown how his name changed from Levi into Matthew, or vice versa. But assumptions are Levi is a Hebrew name, while Matthew is a Greek name. Another is Matthew, of course, had his name changed from Levi to Matthew, likely by Jesus, who changed Simon's name to Peter. Or it is his privilege as the author to call himself Matthew, rather than his own pre-conversion name, Levi. Or both Mark and Luke used Levi, since Matthew belongs to the tribe of Levi. We do not know exactly, but any one of these assumptions may hold true. Anyway, what struck me with the gospel reading is Matthew's immediate and wholehearted commitment of obedience to what Jesus said to him, "Follow me." By getting up, leaving his post, and follow Jesus. Would you be willing to follow anyone who say the same words to you, whom you do not even know? You do not know where he is going or where he is leading you. Perhaps you may demand and ask, "Wait, do I know you? Why should I follow you? What do we do?" A lot of questions you may be asking before you may say, "Okay, let's go. I will follow you." Not sure of what influenced Matthew's radical obedience, because he did not even hear the same Jesus statement in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, when he called both Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, then were casting their net into the Sea of Galilee. "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Matthew could have been curious and thought, "Wow, how is it to be fish for people?" Because he was a tax collector. But it's not. He did not hear Jesus say that. What he heard only from Jesus is, "Follow me." And he did. Matthew did not even tell Jesus, "Why should I follow you? Look, I'm having a good life as a tax collector." He is the only disciple who may be wealthy in that time because of his occupation. Being a tax collector in those days are seen to be traitors, for they are working for the hated oppressors, the Romans, collecting taxes. And they generally had become very rich by setting excessive tax rates, far in excess of what Rome required so that they will have something for their own. So they are rejected and despised, hated by their fellow citizens because of overcharging tax dues. And they enforce payments by using the Roman army. Notice that after he was called, Matthew leaves his responsibilities as a tax collector behind and becomes a disciple. Matthew might have a revelation of something that Jesus has in store for him. which is far beyond being a tax collector in that moment, and that following Jesus will be a change in his life. And it is more likely he may have already been familiar with Jesus' teachings and the works he has done or performed in the area, as Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who had left everything and followed Jesus immediately when they were called. He was prepared to give up everything to follow Jesus, to follow Christ, and did not look back. Prophet Samuel counts it this way in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings, in sacrifices, as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." Contrast to Matthew's response was that of the rich, young, upright Jewish man in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22, who asked Jesus what he had to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus answered him to sell all his possessions and give it to the poor, then follow Jesus, which the scripture records his response in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22, says, "When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions." There is nothing wrong in having money. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. As Jim Elliot, a missionary who was killed in South America in the late 1950s, said, and I quote, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I repeat that. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jesus himself displayed his total obedience to his Father. He said he had come down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him, that is his Father, who sent him. He did not come here on earth to do as he pleased. He did not come to continue his earthly father's business and earn profit. At an early age, he knew his heavenly father's will for him. Having lost in Jerusalem one time, and after his earthly parents found him and told him they were anxiously searching for him, his answer is in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" You might wonder what Jesus meant for that Father's houses. But that is to do the will of his Father who sent him. Also in John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus said, "I can do nothing of my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." All that Jesus said and done was exactly what his Father wanted him to say. In John chapter 12, verses 49 to 50, he said, "For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore I speak just as the Father has told me." So Jesus trusted and obeyed his Father in everything he did. Nothing Jesus did was outside of God's will. He does as his Father has commanded him, so that the world may know that he loves the Father. We shall look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, which is a passage explaining what Jesus' obedience meant for him. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. At some later point, Matthew holds a large feast at his house, which perhaps a call for celebration, to express appreciation for his special call from Jesus. Evidently, Matthew has invited tax collectors and sinners into his home, for there were many of them who were following him, says in Mark chapter 2, verse 15, so that they can listen to Jesus and receive spiritual healing. Jesus shows mercy towards tax collectors and sinners, not to condone their sins, but to show tender feelings similar to those that he displayed towards the physically ill. Jesus wants to help everyone to attain a healthy relationship with him and his Father, and to have a life of sins forgiven. He is moved with compassion and mercy. He can serve as a physician to all who are ill physically and in spirit. Observing Jesus at the feast with such people, the self-righteous Pharisees who are present ask his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Overhearing them, Jesus answers, "Healthy people do not need a physician, but those who are ill do. Go then and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. For I came to call not righteous people but sinners. Those who suppose their souls to be without disease will not welcome the spiritual physician." Such was the case of these Pharisees here. They despised Christ because they thought themselves to be whole. Christ conversing with sinners is here called mercy. For to promote the conversion of soul is the greatest act of mercy. The gospel call is to call for repentance, a call to us to change our minds and to change our ways. Let us examine whether we have found out our sickness and have learned to follow the directions of our great physician, who was sent to heal us and deliver us from destruction. As I end, let me remind you that the result of disobedience of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the obedience of Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19, in Amplified Version, "For just as through one man's disobedience, his failure to hear, his carelessness, the many, which is us, were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one man, who is Jesus, the many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with Him. Let us come to the Father as we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that our heart is not right in your sight, that we may have disobeyed or ignored your call to follow you, or may have been slow in following your call. Forgive us, Father, through the obedience of your Son to the point of dying on the cross for our sins. Like Matthew, we may be inspired by his prompt response to follow you when you called him, leaving everything behind, knowing that there is more life in following you than to do our own will. Help us, Father, that the things of this world will not weigh us down and prevent us from serving in your church. It may not necessarily be a preacher, but as a volunteer for service to others. Remind us your words in Proverbs 11, verse 25. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. In Jesus' name, amen.